Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Not just you who are here in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in online on our English streaming and our Spanish streaming channels. We're the Church for Truth Seekers. That's what we're called. My name is Pastor Tom Washington. And if you are also a truth seeker, you can start by getting to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. I'm excited about sharing with you this morning. We've been talking about an awesome subject that is relevant to what is going on in our lives. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll provide a Bible for you. You can look on the Bibletron, but you know, there's just something about holding on to the word, whether it be electronic or hard copy. Tell your neighbor, you got to hold on to it. That's what it's about. You got to hold on to it. Gives you something. So just raise your hand. We'll give you something to hold on to. In the meantime, we've been talking about kingdom issues. Why are we talking about kingdom issues? Because we're kingdom people. We live in this world, but we're actually citizens of his kingdom. And it's not a kingdom that we belong to later on when we go up to glory and everything will be all right, when we pass away and we get all of that stuff that we need when we go on to glory. But rather, there's stuff that he wants to do for us down here. And it's not just about the kingdom when we leave here, but there's an actual kingdom here on earth that we're supposed to live in. Amen. It has benefits, right? And if you are a citizen of that kingdom, then you are entitled to the benefits of that kingdom. Has anybody here been recipients of some of those benefits? Good benefits, right? It's better than, you know, the benefits that you get on your job. It's awesome. And so we want to live in that. But there's things that we have to do to be able to live in that. And so in that talk about kingdom principles, we've been talking about an aspect of the kingdom, which is kingdom wisdom. We need wisdom. And if you will turn with me to Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah. Those of you joining us, we love to delve into the Hebrew words and the Hebrew names. They give so much meaning, so much color, so much richness to what we're reading. And our whole point is that we want to get an understanding. So if you will turn to Yeshayahu, Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, and we'll get into our lesson for today. How many of you, Yahweh, has just been awesome this week? I'm telling you, he's been so awesome, and I'm so thankful for what he's done. And when we're talking about wisdom, the only way that we're going to be able to navigate this life is going to be that we are walking in his wisdom. And we really want to get in depth with that today. So if you are in Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, let's go to the 6th verse. And if you will read with me, it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear or the reverence of Yahweh is his treasure. And so, I don't know about you, but we need stability in this day and age. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of instability, a lot of confusion, a lot of crazy stuff. And not just in the world situation, but personally, you come in contact with unstable stuff, right? Finances can be unstable sometimes. Jobs can be what? I remember I worked at a job, a corporate job, and every 3 or 4 or 5 months, there was always a threat of a what? Layoffs. So people were up under their desks hiding, literally in their cubes, because they didn't want, and this is how they did it at the job that I worked at. There would be a rumor for that day, and this is how they did it. They would come to your cube, security would come, and maybe an HR representative, and they say, can you come with me? And you would be escorted. You had to leave your stuff in your cubicle. And you'd be escorted, and they say, okay, see you later, bye. They take you to a room, and they escort you to the door. What about my stuff? We're going to bring your stuff out. So what were people doing? They didn't want to get caught in their cubes. So they'd be in the bathrooms and all kinds of different places. Right? But the cold-blooded thing about it is that they look for you all day. They say, you got to come sooner or later. And if they couldn't catch you at your cubicle, they put the word out. So wherever you were, they was like, hold it. You stay right here. We got some people coming for you. We put a lot of stock in the things of the world. But I'm so thankful that through all of those layoffs, because I depended on the kingdom principles and the kingdom benefits, I was never laid off. 15 years. Wife, never laid off. 15 years. And I'm thankful for that. That's because we didn't put our faith in the things of the world, but rather we put our faith in the things of the kingdom. And so the people of the world and those, the supervisors and stuff, they had to pass over our name because Yahweh gave us favor. Hallelujah. But you see, that's because we put our faith in the kingdom principles, not in, we wasn't like, oh God, what's going to happen? I was always at my desk. Because this was my attitude. I got, my faith is in you, Yahweh. So if they come for me, evidently, you got something better for me. So I ain't running nowhere. I'm going to sit here and whatever happens. And so I'm thankful, but it's a mindset. Tell your neighbor it's a mindset. You have to let the kingdom exist in you, right? And so if we go to, if we're saying this, the wisdom and the knowledge shall be the stability of our times, right? So if you want knowledge, you want stability, you need what? You got to have the wisdom of Yahweh operating in your life. And so we're talking about this, and if you go to Proverbs or Tehillim, and we were saying that this is just a bit of a review for those of you who are coming for the first time. We talked about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is the word coming into your life. You with me? Wisdom is the word going out of your life or being demonstrated in your life. And you cannot get to wisdom unless you understand the knowledge that's coming in. Right? So, understanding is the bridge that connects the knowledge you get. So right now, you're receiving knowledge. It's a Sunday morning, right? Wisdom's coming in. The word is coming in. That knowledge is coming in. You need to be able to understand that by the Spirit or just by y'all paying attention off up in here. If you sleep in here, you can't receive it. You're not going to get it. If you're distracted, like I say, sometimes somebody's cooking greens right now in their head. Somebody's wondering what we gonna eat after we leave here. Somebody's looking at the clock and counting me down. You don't know when I'm going to finish, so stop. Right? Those are things that block your understanding. So we want to receive the knowledge. We want to receive that understanding because guess what? Tomorrow, there's going to be a situation that comes up in your life, and you're going to need that wisdom. The knowledge that you receive on Sunday and the understanding that you allow yourself to operate in is going to manifest, need to manifest itself on Monday because guess what? Something's going to happen. Some kind of trial, some kind of situation, some kind of challenge is going to reveal itself. And you're going to have to rely upon that knowledge and that understanding so that it can manifest and come out in your life as wisdom. Amen. And so if we look at Proverbs, or Tehillim in the Hebrew, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse says, wisdom is what? It's a principal thing. So wisdom, we're going to need that in this walk. It's the what? Principal thing. It's the important thing. It's one of the main things that you're going to need to be able to operate in. Right? So it says, therefore what? Get wisdom. Tell your neighbor, you better get it. Therefore, we got to get wisdom. Right? And it says, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Because guess what? If you don't have an understanding, you're not going to be able to apply that wisdom in your life. And what did I give you the example of? And I always use it. A tomato is a fruit. You thought it was a vegetable all these years. Give me some tomato in my salad. Well, you was putting fruit in your salad. Right? And then, but that's knowledge. So knowing that it's a fruit, cool. But guess what? You have to have the wisdom to know that you can't put it in a fruit salad. You can only put it in a what? Vegetable salad. Now, some of y'all might like tomatoes with your watermelon and stuff. I'm not one of those. Doesn't work for me, right? But you have to be able to know that the wisdom allows you to be able to know what is appropriate. So that's what we're going to go over today. And as we study the word, we find out that wisdom is important because it's going to do about three things in your life. Of course, more than that, but generally three things. It's going to solve some problems for you. Who got problems? Yay, I got problems. I need wisdom to be able to solve those problems that come up in my life. Second thing, who got questions? I got questions. I need to know the answer to those questions. Well, guess what? Wisdom provides the answer to those questions. Who needs direction? Oh, because sometimes I don't know, Father, should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I deal with this situation? Should I, you know, I don't know. So therefore, I need to rely upon wisdom to be able to discern what direction I need to go in. Amen. And so I even try to consult Yava on traffic, believe it or not. He tries to tell me. He was like, don't get on that. Right? Sometimes I have to take the 405. Now, anybody in their right mind know if you ever get on the 405, you won't have traffic. But sometimes he's saying, don't do it. Take this street over there. And I'll be like, hey. Before it even backs up. And then as I'm going down that side street, I'm looking and I see the backup. And I say, praise Yahweh. I've avoided the traffic jam. Well, there's 405s in your life. Who's experienced a traffic jam in their life? Hey. Traffic jam in some finances? Yes. But wisdom is trying to navigate you around that. And so if we look at, I want you to turn, get ready to turn to Ecclesiastes, or Kohelet in the Hebrew. We were looking at some of the definitions of wisdom. And so as I did my study, which we all should be doing our study, we got to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that what? Need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there is a rightly dividing, there, that must mean that there is a what? Wrongly dividing. And so I need to be in the word to be able to rightly, and I need to be able to study. And so we looked up the Hebrew word for wisdom, chokma. It's based upon a root called chokma. C-H-O, what? K-M-A-H. And what does that mean? That's a wisdom that comes from repetition. It has a root word in it that means pounding in. So to get wisdom, it's got to be kind of what? Pounded in. That means that it's something that's not necessarily easily obtained. I got to keep on what? Working it, repeating, pounding it in, allowing it to penetrate. Why? Because most of us were created with hard heads. What's that hard head? What we think, what we have in our mind, what we want to do. And that has to be penetrated. Because guess what? That's the flesh. And we are fighting that all the time. Who's fighting flesh every day? I'm fighting flesh every day. See, flesh doesn't always have to mean sin. Flesh means just your understanding, what you can only comprehend. You know, even when it comes to tithes and offerings, it don't make sense to give away 10% and that it's actually going to come back. That's a spiritual law, right? But sometimes we like, I don't understand. And in the world, they call it trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. But guess what? We serve a God that if we follow his principles, he can make $2 out of 15 cents. Who found that out to be true? I did. Hallelujah. If I'm following his principles, it's possible. But in the natural, it don't make no what? It don't make no sense. And that's what we want to override. That's why Yahweh's wisdom, kingdom wisdom, God's wisdom has to be what? Pounded in. Tell your neighbor it has to be pounded in. And so, as I was looking up the other definitions of wisdom to apply, there's an old saying that says, wise men change their minds. Fools never. Anybody know any fools? No fools. Apostle said, I know several. Somebody's just so bullheaded that you can't tell them nothing. They never change their mind. But wise men understand, because why? That wisdom and that knowledge is always flooding in. You know, and there's some things that we're able to adjust because we're allowing that wisdom to come into our lives. So I'm going to give you some definitions of wisdom that we need to be aware of. Wisdom means to be cunning, clever. To be cunning or clever. Wisdom. Wisdom, cunning or clever. Wisdom also means practical application of right and wrong. Right? So we already got the cunning and clever. Also means what? Practical application. Can we go to the next one? Of right and wrong. Wisdom also means shrewd. Right? You're allowing that kingdom wisdom to penetrate and expose some things that are not true. So it's shrewd. It's experienced, means experienced. Wisdom means to have insight, because there's some certain things that you don't know the whole story to. You just don't know. You just kind of know the surface. But if you allow kingdom wisdom to penetrate you, He's going to give you insight. He's going to say, no, it's not like that. It might look like that. It's not like that. So don't go that way. Right? So wisdom gives you, it's shrewd, it's experienced. Listen, Yahweh created the universe. He knows how this thing works. You, in your few years here, you don't know everything. You don't know all the stuff that's going on in the natural, let alone what's going on in the spiritual realm. You need some experienced help. Yahweh's wisdom gives you some what? Experienced help, right? By the Holy Ghost, by the Word. So you'll have that insight. Wisdom means to be, to have balanced judgment. You need to be able to discern certain things. Wisdom is going to give you that balanced judgment, that diplomacy, and prudence. If you don't know what prudence means common sense. So if Yahweh's wisdom can enhance your common sense, stuff that you think you know, and he'll be like, it's not necessarily like that. So he'll give you prudence, more heightened spiritual common sense. Because I think my great-great-grandmother used to say, Apostle, what she said?
All you really need is a little common sense.
But guess what? There's people operating today that they're not even... Some stuff, you don't have to have the spiritual common sense. They're not even operating in natural common sense. It just don't what? Haven't you seen people do stuff and it's like, that just don't make any, any common sense. Natural common sense, let alone what? Spiritual sense. All right. I love this one. Wisdom means practical spirituality. You need to be able to apply your spirituality, know when to apply your spirituality, when it's appropriate, practical spirituality, applying that to your life, to your situation, right? Some people might come up to you and say, oh, and we talked about this in Bible study, oh, that's whole. God said you need to go to China right now. Okay. I have a relationship with him. If he wanted me to go to China, I think he would have told me. Now, if you have a relationship with him, he might have told you to go to China. And if that's true, he provided a what? Witness. And a way. Right? He's going to manifest that for you. Right? But you want to rely upon his wisdom to be able to discern and know what? The difference. One of the biggest questions that come up to me is, how do I know that it's God talking to me? Well, first of all, you need to know his voice. And you get to know his voice by having a relationship with him. There's a lot of cries out in the world, but because I have a relationship with my daughter, I know when it's her crying. I can hear her cry. I can hear her voice. Why? Amongst all the crying. Because I know her. So why? Because I'm accustomed to her cry because I've had a relationship with her. But if you don't have a relationship with Yahweh, with God, you're not going to be able to hear his voice. But oh, when you have a relationship with him and you're talking to him even when you don't want nothing, you're just sharing. Who has that kind of relationship? You're just talking. You know, we're just going back and forth. We're just having communion. We're just having a good time with each other. And I ain't asking him for nothing. I'm just praising him for who he is in my life. And I'm just thanking him for him just manifesting himself in such a personal way for me. He knows my name. And he knows each and every one of you personally if you would just allow him to have a relationship with you. He's not looking for religious people, y'all. He's looking for people that want to have a relationship with him. Right? And so when we look in that, practical spirituality. Wisdom. The knowledge of how to regulate circumstances. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. The knowledge of how to what? Regulate circumstances. So let's go to Kohelet or Ecclesiastes. The 9th chapter. And the 13th verse. And if you know anything about Ecclesiastes, it's written just like Proverbs. Written mostly by Solomon. And who was Solomon? Son of David. But what was he known for? He was a man of wisdom. Not only was it wisdom, it was great. Awesome wisdom, right? And so we look in Ecclesiastes or Kohelet, the 9th chapter, the 13th verse, says, and this is Solomon talking, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it. So there was a few people in this city, and then there was a great king who came against this city. And the king besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Bulwarks means snares, so traps. So that's what this king did that was coming against this city. And he built snares and things so that the people could not come out of the city. And the 15th verse says, now there was found in it a poor, wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. What does that mean? He saved the city by his wisdom. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. But what does it say? This wise poor man, or poor wise man, delivered the city with his wisdom, right? And that meant that he had the knowledge to be able to what? Regulate the situation. Look, this is metaphorical to you. You're going to have kings come against you. Enemies going to come against you in your little city. All y'all got little cities. Things that you done, Yahweh's giving you set up. And there's going to be attacks against what? Your city. But it says, if you have wisdom, you're going to be able to be delivered from that attack, right? But how was the man delivered from the attack? Well, guess what? Why did it say he was poor? Why do we need to know that? Because he didn't have the money to buy soldiers to fight for him. So people, it don't matter if you got money. Just because if you got money, don't make you wise. Guess what? You can't buy wisdom. And money was not going to deliver him out of that situation. The only thing that was going to deliver him out of that situation was going to be what? Wisdom. Yahweh's wisdom. Right? And the circumstances were bad. Who's ever been bad circumstances? I have been. Right? That you can't get out of the city. Right? There's been bulwarks against you. You've had some traps at your job. You know, some people will try to trick you out of your job, people. Hey, you got coworkers that will try to make it seem like you did something. People that you work with will what? Set you up. Who's been set up?
Me.
But guess what? If you use Yahweh, see what we want to do, sometimes when we've been set up, what do we want to do? We want to confront people. We want to tell people off. Right? What is that? That's the flesh response. But if we use Yahweh's wisdom, he's going to deliver us out of that situation. Amen? And so, if we look at that, read 16th verse. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Say that again. Wisdom is better. And when we're talking about strength, sometimes you try to use your natural, what you know how to do. You might have a good right hook. And you think that's going to solve the problem. But guess what? It's not. You need wisdom, and wisdom is better than strength. Also, what does it say? It says, nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. Why? Because it don't make no sense that wisdom would be what? Better than strength. Because our natural thing says we don't need the wisdom. But spiritually, we need what? We got to have the wisdom. 17th verse says, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Sometimes we got people in our ear. Girl, you better do that. I'm going to tell you how to handle it. Nah, dude, you need to do this. We got words coming from everybody else. People love to tell you what to do. But once you do it and it don't work out, they ain't nowhere to be found. Well, man, you know, you didn't have to do what I said. You know, I was just making a, you know, suggestion. You know, the last word got to come from you anyway. You got to know what to do. People will tell you all kinds of crazy stuff. But it says that the wisdom, the words of wise men are heard in quiet. See, Yahweh's voice is a beautiful, still, small voice. You hear him if you listen. And he'll say, why don't you do this and that and this and that? And you got those other folks screaming in your ear. If I was you, I would. Well, guess what? You ain't me. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm letting Yahweh rule my life. Any other people like that? Any other people like that? So it doesn't matter. And it says, sometimes we get advice from fools. See, you cannot run to the world for spiritual advice, people. Because they will tell you anything. But we have to rely upon the wisdom of Yahweh. And so, go here. The 18th verse says, wisdom is what? Better than weapons of war. Some people will tell you to go get your gun. But guess what? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And it says, but one sinner destroyeth. It only takes one person to give you some bad advice. You take it. And sometimes you be taking your own advice, what you think and what you know. And so this is all about wisdom. This is what we need. And so turn to the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. The 10th chapter and the 10th verse. Of Koheleth or Ecclesiastes. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Again, we're talking about wisdom. So it says, if the iron be blunt, okay, Well, guess what? The Hebrew word for iron is barzel. And barzel means an axe. So we're not talking about just a piece of iron. We're talking about an axe. Tell your neighbor it's an axe. All right. So let's go back and read that. If the axe be what? Blunt. And we do not whet. The Hebrew word for whet means sharpen. When you whet something, you sharpen it. Okay? And so if he do not sharpen the edge, then he must put more strength. So let's get this straight. If you are hammering, trying to cut something with an axe that doesn't have a sharp edge, then what do you got to do? No, no, no. If you are hitting it, you're going to put, if you keep on and don't sharpen it, you got to put more strength into it, right? And then you put more strength into it, but you're still not cutting into it. You're just what? You're just pounding at it, chipping away just a little bit. And if that's good enough for you, then that means you're going to have to wear yourself out just chipping it up a little bit. But wisdom says, sharpen the edge, fool. That's what wisdom is, right? But wisdom, and it says here, it says wisdom is profitable to direct, but translated means bring success. So let's read the whole thing, and let's read it together. If the axe be blunt, and he do not sharpen the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom brings success. And wisdom says, sharpen the edge. Divine wisdom or kingdom wisdom gives you an edge. Say, divine wisdom gives us an edge. So then if you lean towards wisdom, that means you're going to have a sharp edge. You're going to be able to do the work. And guess what? It's not going to take a lot of effort on your part. All you got to do is swing that thing. Boop! With one fell swoop, you'll hit it. Why? Because wisdom told you that your edge is sharp. Right? A lot of times, we go through a whole lot of stuff because our edge ain't sharp. We could have been finished with something. We could have really gotten through a situation. But we using our mind. And guess what? Our mind is not sharp as the spiritual mind is supposed to be. Because a lot of times we have gone through, look at the children of Israel. If they had really relied upon Yahweh's wisdom, they wouldn't have went around that mountain 40 years. Some of y'all are going around mountains because you're still some people do that too. They say they consulted God, but they didn't. They're lying. They've only consulted what? Themselves, right? And so that's what we need to understand. I need to take you to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. So if you want success, you got to sharpen the edge, people. That means operating in kingdom wisdom. So let's talk about what this is for a moment. 1 Corinthians, second chapter. Go to the 12th verse. And all these things, listen, this is all designed for you to be able to navigate. So you can, listen, you got to have questions in your life. Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I stay here? Should I go out of town? Should I get this house? Should I get this thing? We all have questions. And a lot of times we're relying upon this noggin. But Yahweh has some plans for us that he wants to expose us to, but he wants us to rely on his wisdom. And the only way we're going to be able to get those things if we rely upon what? His wisdom. And so, because a lot of people are spending a lot of time wasting time going on their own understanding. And so if we look here at 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, 12th verse says what? Now we have received. Who's we? Who's us? Who's we? We're believers. So he's talking to believers here, right? And it says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yahweh. So there is a spirit operating in the world. Our know-how, what the flesh knows, what the flesh thinks. And that is not the spirit that we should be operating in. When he transformed us, he transformed that spirit in us. So now we don't have that spirit of the world, that spirit of sin, but rather we have the Holy Ghost. We have that divine spirit within us. That means we have the spirit of who? Yahweh. And it says that we might know the things that are what? Freely given. So we have his spirit in him that we'll be able to discern, that we might be able to know the things that are given to us, that we have access to by Yahweh, which is his wisdom. And so it says the 13th, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom. You guys have learned a lot of things from man's wisdom. Some of y'all have been told, don't trust that N-word, ladies. You've been told that. Because some sisters have told you, don't trust that ninja. Right? And that has come from that woman's what? Wisdom that she got from who? The world. So he was like, no matter what, don't trust him, girl. You can have a good man, real good man. But you are relying what? On the world's wisdom to say what? Don't trust him. Girl, don't you give him all that money. You better put a stash away. But if you got a godly man, you don't have to hide money from him. Wait, but there's some sisters in here saying, I'm just saying, it takes faith to be able to operate in Yahweh's what? Wisdom. So, not in the words which what? Man's wisdom teaches. But which the what? Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost teaches. Say it in your mouth. The Holy Ghost teaches. Okay. So the stuff that we've been told and that we have learned all these years, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to override that. Right? Because that's what some of that means. Don't ever trust him or don't ever trust her. But that doesn't even give room for redemption. Because we're supposed to forgive people. We're supposed to operate. Right? We're supposed to operate in love and forgiveness, understanding. But the word that don't make sense to the world. We're holding grudges. That's what? Whose principle? Holding grudges, that's what? That's the world's thing. So the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? You guys are spiritual beings now. Maybe you did not realize that. You're not natural people going through a spiritual experience. You are spiritual people going through a natural experience. So the first thing that you need to always rely upon is not the natural, but the supernatural. Ha! Ha! That's what we're made of. We're expecting supernatural things. Right? Because why? We're spiritual beings. So we're living, we have an expectation that things are going to manifest in the supernatural, and they're going to take care of the natural. Right? But I don't know about you, but I expect the supernatural. But if you're just expecting natural stuff, you're not going to understand certain things that are happening in your life. Why? Because you're not letting the Holy Ghost teach you. Right? And so here, if we look further, it says 14. But the natural man receiveth what? Not the spirit, the things of the spirit of Yahweh. Right? They can't understand. If you're going with your natural mind, it don't make sense. The spiritual, supernatural stuff, what? Don't make sense. But that's why we do it by what? By faith. Faith don't make sense to people. It didn't make no sense for Peter to step out on that water. But by faith, he could have been able to walk the water with Yeshua. And guess what? He took a couple of steps by faith. But then he started looking at the circumstances, looking at the wind, and looking at the waves. And that's what we do. Yahweh tells us something to do, and we start walking it. And then our sister or our brother or our mother or our father say, that don't make no sense. Stop doing that. And then we start to sink. But if we just kept our eyes on the master, regardless. See, you think the wind and the waves is natural wind and the waves? Uh-uh. The wind and the waves is people. The wind and the waves is circumstances. And if you listen to people, listen, people can say whatever they want to, but you ain't got to listen to them. Well, I just wanted to let her tell me. I wanted to listen to what he had to say. Don't do it. When people try to see, because that puts doubt in your faith walk. If somebody's coming with negativity, you know what? I got this. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm keeping my eyes on the master. So it says here, 14th, but natural man does not receive the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Because they are what? Spiritually discerned, right? But he that is spiritual judges all things. Say all things. You got to judge all things by the Spirit, y'all. Not just some stuff, but everything. What house should I buy? Yahweh don't care about that. Yes, he do. He wants you to get the best deal. He wants you to get the best location. Hey. He might be trying to block that. Maybe a flood is coming. Maybe a house going to fall on that thing. So you want to be where he what? Wants you to be. So you consult him about those things. And he says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged by what? Consult Yahweh for your stuff. You ain't got to go to nobody else. You have a direct communication with him. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh that he may instruct? So what does that mean? You got to allow him to instruct you. You got to let his mind. And if we read further, what does it say? But we have the mind of Mashiach. You already got what you need. You already have the mind of Mashiach. But guess what? You got to access it by faith. Because you've already got the Holy Ghost. Right? And so that's what we need to be able to do. And I need you to do this right quickly. Go to Yohanan, the first chapter, and then you have to wrap up in a sec. Where did the time go? Lord have mercy. John, the first chapter. Say this. Yourself, but we have the mind of Mashiach. But we have the mind of Mashiach. You need to understand what that means. We have the mind of Mashiach. And so if you go to Yohanan or John, the first chapter, it says, and the 10th verse says what? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world what? Knew him not. Who are we talking about? Yeshua. We're talking about Mashiach. So when we're talking about having the mind of Mashiach, first we need to know who Mashiach or Christ or Yeshua is, right? So he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons, somebody say daughters, of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name. So you have received him, therefore what? He gave you the power. Gave he power to what? Become the sons of Yahweh, or daughters, even to them that what? Believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. But here goes the clincher, the 14th. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the word is Yeshua. So if you have the mind of Yeshua, or Christ, Mashiach, right? Then if he is the word, that means that you have to have a mind of the word. That's where your wisdom comes. You allow the word to govern your mind and your decisions, right? And so Philippians, turn there, and I'm going to end it for this session. Because this is all about wisdom. Philippians 2nd chapter to the 5th verse. So if we know that the mind is the word, and we know that we have to have the mind of Yeshua, then there's something we have to do. Philippians 2:5 says what? Let this mind be. You got to let it. You already got it, but now you got to let it operate. You got to flick the on switch. He's there. He's saying, okay, you got the word in you. You got my Holy Ghost in you. You got the power in you, but you got to be able to what? Access it. Let it work in your life. That's why it says let, because it's something that you got to do. Tell your neighbor, you got to let. You got to let it. You got to let this mind be in you. And when we let that mind be in you and we make decisions and things and we consult that word, it don't make sense to people. And what is some of the first things people say to us? Have you lost your mind? Guess what? Yes, I have lost my mind because I have the mind of Mashiach and I'm letting mine go. So tell your neighbor, have you lost your mind? If you haven't, you need to. That's what it's all about. We gotta let that mind go. And we gotta let the mind of Mashiach rule in our lives. And if we let that mind rule in our lives, then the word is gonna rule in our lives, and then wisdom is gonna take control of our lives. So you better lose your mind. Lose your mind. I done lost my mind. Stuff that I do, people, it don't make no sense. Didn't make no sense for me to leave my corporate job making all that money and come to be the pastor of this church. But guess what? Hey, I'm blessed immeasurably. It made sense to me in Yahweh. And I have not looked back ever since. He's telling you to do some stuff that in your mind don't make no sense. But if you let that happen by faith, you're obedient by faith, he's going to do something in your life. So if you don't remember nothing else today, remember this. Lose your mind. Father Yahweh, we just thank you. We praise you for your love and your grace.